Welcome to another episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. Today is Monday, September 19th, 2022. I'm your host, Audrey Sternberg. Co-authors Drs. Dori Beeler of the Levine Cancer Institute, Shelley Wang of the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, and Viraj A. Master of the Winship Cancer Institute of Emory University spoke with Cancer Network about their review published in the journal Oncology titled Cancer-Related Fatigue Outcome Measures in Integrative Oncology, Evidence for Practice and Research Recommendations. And their colleagues explored negative impacts, mechanisms, and measurement concerns surrounding cancer-related fatigue. They also proposed strategies for standardization and future directions in the space. What was the motivation and aim behind this white paper?
So I'm the chair of the Society for Integrative Oncology Research Committee, and Dr. Shelley Wang is the co-chair of this committee. It was so obvious as we attended many Society for Integrative Oncology meetings that there was a large amount of expertise as well as lack of expertise in understanding very common terms like pain or fatigue, or specifically cancer-related fatigue. So many clinicians as well as research wanted to study the problem of fatigue, but were somewhat stymied by the fact that there seemed to be so many different ways to evaluate cancer-related fatigue. So this project is quite a while in the making because we really had to put our heads together and try to understand, well, what do we really want? We would like to be able to, at the end, have expertise that agglomerates and summarizes the pros and cons of the tools used in the field. And then probably most importantly, since the group of authors has deep expertise in a variety of areas, whether it's basic research, clinical research, or clinical practice, to try to produce a really helpful list of the for the average practitioner, be they in academic practice or community practice, whether they're a neophyte scholar or someone who's a full-fledged scholar with another degree of interest, about which tools to use today in 2022.
In the paper, what is the standard definition that's outlined for cancer-related fatigue?
Well, I think I can answer that one, but of course, welcome some added input from Dr. Wang and Dr. Masters. But in the article, we chose to use the NCCN definition, which is that cancer-related fatigue is distressing, persistent, subjective sense of physical, emotional, or cognitive tiredness, and that it's not proportional to recent activity. One of the things that's come up in literature quite often is the variety of definitions used for fatigue. So one of the things that we wanted to do was try to use a definition that is highly used, highly drawn from, and speaks to the types of outcomes that we're trying to accomplish when we measure fatigue.
Great. And then could you just summarize cancer-related fatigue prevalence, impacts, and associations across the cancer continuum?
So I'll speak here in terms of prevalence to how we reported that in the article. Of course, you know, prevalence figures change and morph over time, but we tried to use the most recent material that was available at the time of publishing this article. And this is reported across different dynamics. But what we provided in the article is that it's present in 25 to 99% of patients, cancer-related fatigue, whether they're predominantly undergoing treatment. And then for 19 to 82% of patients who were completed treatment. So there's a shift between treatment, not treatment, but it's still a really high prevalence when you look at those figures. And then furthermore, we looked at a meta-analysis which reported across all studies, and they reported what they call a pooled prevalence across all patients of 52% prevalence for fatigue. So that's still pretty high. And then of course, we get into a little bit more detail and nuance when we look at how prevalence is reported related to age and gender. Although those figures are, if you will, they don't always provide consensus, but they do present some interesting findings in the sense that, for example, with respect to gender, we found that female patients have a higher prevalence for and risk of cancer-related fatigue. And then furthermore, it can be broken down by cancer type.
It's so clear to me that this data should be a strong take-home message to clinicians reading this issue of the journal that here is a huge problem, cancer-related fatigue, and I don't know that clinicians are asking about it enough. Hopefully some of the tools in this article that was really so brilliantly first authored by Dr. Beeler, it can even be a one question tool that at least starts the conversation with the physician and their patient or a clinician and their patient, whether they're a non-physician or not, to help that patient fundamentally. Another thing that becomes so clear is that we have huge knowledge gaps, and we'll likely talk about that as well, but are we surveying the true continuum of cancer patients that includes the adolescents and young adults, as well as the true makeup of American cancer patients, which includes not only well-to-do or middle-class white patients, but poor patients with disadvantaged literacy backgrounds or patients of color who are often not included in many surveys.
I just want to add on that during the cancer trajectory of the disease development, cancer-related fatigue is the most severe and the most common symptom compared to all of other cancer-related symptoms. So we had a tool compared on that, and we learned that even in the early stage of disease, fatigue could be even the first symptom come to the patient notice, they have really easily to get tired and so on. And during the very aggressive cancer therapies, there are all range of the cancer treatments. The fatigue often is the most severe one and the most common one and the lack of intervention. And of course, in the very advanced stage of disease of cancer, the patient with many other of symptom burden, but fatigue is very distinguished one, most severe, and the patient suffering a great deal on that.
So you've all touched on, you know, how common this is and maybe some challenges in identifying it. Are there any additional challenges that you all face when you're trying to treat or diagnose cancer-related fatigue?
Awareness is the greatest issue, to Dr. Wong's point. It's the most common and important problem that our cancer patients feel in terms of symptomatology, but how often are we really asking patients about it? So that's the fundamental challenge that we all on this podcast, as well as our listeners, need to address head on. We have to make sure we're asking about it.
I totally agree with Dr. Mast. This symptom is so common. However, it is not a disease. It is a symptom. So common with high prevalence, very noisy background, even the patient with aging and the comorbidity and so on. So the fatigue could be driven by multifactorial and many issues mixed up with fatigue. And not like a cancer pain. There's a clear intervention plan on place, such as severe pain, you have opioids as somehow as a gold standard. But fatigue, there's no intervention really from the pharmacologic intervention aspect, although there are evidence to show exercise and so on for chronic fatigue may be useful. So the challenge for the fatigue management, it is much larger compared to other symptoms driven by cancer or therapy, because there are some of the medication or gold standard intervention plan on place.
So for a patient that you expect is suffering from cancer-related fatigue, what are some of the current measurement issues that are present in the space?
My take as a researcher, one of the problems really is, and it maybe not a problem as such, but something we need to get a better handle on, is that commonly, as Dr. Wang had suggested, cancer-related fatigue is a subjective report. You know, it's patients tell us how they feel, they tell us they're fatigued, but it's very difficult to find the underlying mechanism that causes that fatigue just based on that subjective report. So trying to find objective measures, as we call them, or measures that can give us an indication of that physiological underpinning that correlates with that subjective report of fatigue, I think is where we are right now in terms of the challenge. But that's my perspective from research, and I'm sure there's more to add to that.
The ultimate is to find an objective measure, as Dr. Buehler mentioned. As we all, as researchers, clinician researchers, search for those objective measures, we can't ever throw out the fact that the patient is not a heart rate variability or a hand gripper weakness individual, is a patient who's really experiencing and suffering from the fatigue. So I would say the current challenge is that we in Western medicine often want to have a number associated with something that we can measure. But this is not something that can be quantified as precisely as we'd like it to be. And thus the variety of tools that are written in this review article.
Yeah, I agree. Patient reported outcome, we call PROs, is recommended and promoted by multiple scientific groups and FDA, NCI, and so on. So those PRO assessment tools being developed a lot, there are probably several hundreds of tools. There's no gold standard to measure it. However, guiding so many years of exercise to study cancer-related fatigue, there's a kind of a consensus of at least you need to learn the symptom severity, how bad it is, and the impact to the patient's daily life, and so on. So there are physical components, a cognitive component, and so on. So the tool could be very fancy and multidimensional, could be very simple as a screening tool to immediately tell you how bad the fatigue it is. So bottom line is our paper really addressed all of those concerns and presented opportunity for reader to select whatever they could use. There is quite challenging for tool selection, however, depends on you use for clinical practice or you want to use for capture all range of fatigue related issues on research. So that could be all based on evidence based the result, make the reader's own choice.
So Dr. Wang, you touched on cancer-related fatigue patient outcome measures. So can you then also touch on what were some of the recommendations in this paper for oncology clinicians regarding like what measures you use in your clinic?
So from practice, well, for example, my institution have actually fatigue clinic and they do use a range of PRO tools. And down-to-earth measure, it is on 0-10 scale that NCCN practice guideline using it. So the simple tool, the beauty is cut all of the cheese, we could immediately capture how bad it is on the moment and how much improvement after certain intervention or expectation. So this one is kind of like very simple single item. However, there are other really validated tools, clinically acceptable and psychometric property sound. And for example, the premise fatigue subscale and some other tools, brief fatigue inventory, and some other tools, could be longer, could be shorter, and could be used in a different scenario. Depends on researcher or practitioner's needs.
And table four of the article, I'd direct the reader's attention to it. It points out kind of the top line takeaways, if you will. At the very least, consider the single item NCCN question to at least get yourself as a clinician or as an advanced practice provider or psychologist to know that this is a problem the patient is facing. If you don't ask it, you'll never know. Then after that, consider which of those tools in table four do you want to use for either clinical symptom tracking over time for your own records or one of the others for research, or both. I mean, hopefully the reason that we come up with these tools and use them is that we're not only using them in the ivory tower to write papers, but we're using them to make patients' lives better.
So I think you covered all of my points. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, if I can just add one last thing, I think, and that is to the point of your question, like what kind of recommendations to be made. And I think one of the things that we're very clear about in this article is to remember that every decision made about which measure to use will have either research or clinical or patient burdens, right? Associated burdens with each one. So we just make a lot, we say a lot in the article about how to consider those burdens in relation to the types of measures you're choosing. So is it going to be overly burdensome to the patient? Is it overly burdensome in assessments for the clinician themselves? Or does it cost too much? You know, cost is also a factor for some of these assessments, which are have a price associated with them. So I just want to throw that out there as one other factor that you might take into consideration when you're making decisions around measurement choices.
Yeah, I think that couldn't be better stated. That was really nicely said, Dr. Beeler, because sometimes when the patient can suffer from questionnaire fatigue. So if you're already fatigued, you're given the 36 item questionnaire to fill out, that's only going to produce a little bit more fatigue. So one should be mindful of that. There's often a tightrope of tension between trying to get the most information out of the patient and make sense of the fact that the patient may only be in the office or the cancer center for this much time, not a 24-hour day.
So for the society of SIO, many researchers and practitioners are using different methods to see if that works for the fatigue reduction, which is wonderful. Because so far, really, we are locking off a gold standard and very effective method to control fatigue. And that is most driving force for patient suffer from symptom burden. And so in that, we hope this work could really support the society advance of their research and using the tool, capture patients' issue in the practice and really provide something to patients to reduce their symptom burden.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network.